Thanks be to God.
This week I was making a walk during the day in the middle of Memphis. Manya's not crazy about me doing this. Sometimes I like to get out of the office, put on a pair of shorts, stretch my legs, and do a little emailing while walking at the same time. Multitasking, Kenny. And as I was walking, I was suddenly surprised there by Christian Brothers University by a homeless man that I would eventually learn was named Charlie Rebel. And Charlie was, certainly it was obvious from the get-go that he was mentally disturbed. And that mentally disturbance was even accented by this red concoction that he had filled up in a jug that it wasn't lemonade or Kool-Aid. And he was staggering around and talking around, and he wanted me to take him to eat lunch. One thing I do is I don't carry my wallet with me while I'm walking, because if I am accosted by somebody, they won't get my everything I have. And I told Charlie that I didn't have anything. Well, he pronounced to call me everything but a child of God. And even as we got further apart, he told me that I was number one with his own special imagery of finger pointing. And he just really let me have it. Well, a little bit later, I ran into Charlie again. I made another lap and I said, "Charlie, I'm telling you, I hadn't got a dime on me. If I did, I would go get you something to eat." And we presented. He went ahead and told me, "Well, I'm going down the subway. You don't owe me nothing. But if you want to, I'll be there in an hour." And sure enough, I took off. It was late in the afternoon. I drove to Subway, and I was just about there, and Charlie hadn't made it there. I saw him laid out under a tree, and I walked over and woke him up, gave him $10, probably too much. We know where that other $5 went, right? Probably went somewhere besides Subway. And y'all, he grabbed me by the hand, he kissed my hand, and he said, "Oh, I love you." Charlie went from calling me everything but a child of God to loving me. You see, that's what happens when we share grace. That's what happens when we remember that we don't give God's love to those around us because they deserve it. We don't give God's love to those around us even when it's convenient to us. We give God's love to the world around us because God first loved us. You see, that's what grace is. It's unmerited. It's amazing. It comes to us, God's love, in a way that we don't deserve, we can't earn, and we cannot even fathom the bounty of God's love for us when we receive it. When we think about this text today that we've heard about the last receiving the same pay as those who had felt the whole brunt of the day in laboring in the vineyard, we're reminded what Scripture says to us a lot about our call to serve the least, the last, and the lost. As I think of this call in this text today of our calling to serve the least, I'm reminded we've been selling decals as a part of Luke Hill's bowling fundraiser at Corinth High School. And I've got a few on sale today. If anybody needs from Ripley a Corinth bowling decal to go on the back of your car, we can fix you up for the small sum of $5. How can you beat a deal like that, Lynn? Now, last year we sold Christmas ornaments. Those were $20, John. But $5, isn't that a more manageable fee? It's more manageable. And last week we were selling them at a football game. One of my friends who works for Coca-Cola walked in. He pulled out a white flag from this pocket, pulled out a white flag from the other pocket. I knew he had the money, Pop, because he worked for Coca-Cola, right? Philip Verdun, you know the truth. He's watching with us virtually here today. And my friend pulled out his back pocket and he had his $5. That was an amount he could expend. It's been much easier selling those for $5 than it was something for $20. Well, friends, in our text today, we're reminded that these people who worked in the vineyard were those who had the least to pay. They didn't have a job. They didn't have an employment that was a living wage. They were simply working, trying to get enough to eat. They truly had the white flags of nothing. Friends, it is these who had the least that Christ served with His grace. As we consider the least in this text, those who have the less, may we remember, as we heard in our prayer of confession and the affirmation of faith today, hear this with me, church, that God came to us when we too were at our least, when we couldn't pay the bill, when we knew our sin was greater than anything we could overcome. Jesus Christ came down from heaven and embraced us to pay the price that we could not. Christ comes for the least in all of us. But our text also tells us that Christ came for the last. You know, I like that too. Not only does God come to us in our inability to earn our forgiveness, He has to forgive us through His grace, but He comes to us not only when we don't have it, but He comes to us when we don't deserve it. He comes to us in our brokenness, in our unworthiness. We've done nothing to earn and merit God's love. I think of this story that I'm reminded of every once in a while. I don't know if y'all realize this, but a lot of times I get credit for stuff I don't do. Whether it's at work or at home. And it even happens in the church. You know, every once in a while my mama will fix a casserole, or a big old pot of chicken and dumplings, or maybe some pimento and cheese, and give it to somebody who's sick. And I used to love it. Miss Billy Mooney, every time I would carry her chicken and dumplings, you know what she'd do? She'd call my mom and she'd say, "That Jody Hill is the sweetest thing I've ever seen." I'd get the credit for my mama making the chicken and dumplings because I was her pastor. I hadn't earned it. I hadn't done anything. I was the last person, in reference to our scripture today, who deserved credit for that gift to her. Friends, in a far greater way, Jesus came to those who'd worked only maybe an hour in the field, who were the last to do anything with their faith, to do anything deserving of a meritorious reward, and Jesus served them with the same grace as all people in need. Friends, may we never forget. As we consider living out the radical love of our Lord, the only hope for our world in the midst of its division, its hate, its brokenness, is the love of Christ that is unrelenting with the same passion that we receive, may we share with those around us. Love. Even as we are the last deserving, may we give to the undeserving around us. But then finally, Jesus in our text today does not only give His gracious love to the least and the last, but also, friends, to the lost. You see, it's that love where Jesus came to each of us as His children, as His creation, hopefully in need and wandering about in brokenness ourselves, that Christ came to restore us. You see, the ultimate appeal in that aspect of grace today, it's not about us realizing what we do when we're the least or the last, but when we realize that Christ came to us as part of the lost, it's really an example of what Christ does. Not us. Let me tell you, I think I've shared with some of you before, a time that I was on a hunting trip and I got lost in the woods. Many of you have probably been lost at times, and that is a very fearful feeling, right? You get to be, your mind plays tricks on you. You don't know how you're going to get out. You don't know if you'll survive. You feel threatened and vulnerable and helpless. And I got so anxious. I had a rifle. I started shooting that rifle, hoping everybody would hear me. And sure enough, they came a-running. My Uncle Larry, my cousin Kevin, they thought I'd killed a big deer is what it was. But actually, they came running and they found me when I was lost. Friends, will you receive these words of grace today? That in our brokenness, our restoration, the gift of life and love eternal is rooted not so much in us turning and seeking Christ, but in Him first, running to us and finding us even as we are lost in our sin forever. You know, if you're hearing this sermon today in this sanctuary or virtually or later this week, and you've heard these words of life and love through Christ before, and you've never embraced them as your own, friends, you can begin that journey today through the gift of life of our Lord. Let's pray about it as we end our worship. Almighty God, as we consider your grace, the gift of life and love where you claim the least, the last and the lost in all of us. If there are those who've heard the stories of your grace, but have wondered if even you were real or if your love was good enough for a broken sinner, may we find ourselves, even as we are lost this day, find ourselves being found in you. Will you make yourself known to us? And in claiming you as our Savior, find ourselves restored to life and love eternal in a way that we would have never attained before. Simply by saying, Jesus, come into my life. Save me from my sins through your grace and love forever. Friends, even as we pray and affirm those who may be beginning their journey of life in you this day, we who already know that treasure, we feel upon us the call to serve the church in need. So we pray together for your congregations, wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed. We pray also for our nation. We lift up our leaders, our president, our senate, the Supreme Court, the military who serve us. We pray for the decisions for the new Supreme Court seat that is before us and the presidential office that is before us. Will you guide this nation? Will you work on each person's heart that they will vote with their conscience how you guide them? Will you prayerfully lead our nation? We pray, O God, for the weak and the sick, the hopeless and the hurting in our community and our world. We remember every person that we've mentioned on our prayer list this day. We pray for miracles of grace in healing and wholeness, that as we turn to you, O God, in prayer for our needs, we find once more your grace and love. And now, Lord, we lift our voices as one and say in prayer the words you taught us, praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us end our worship now by affirming our faith. To do that in our tradition, we recite together the Apostles' Creed that was written in the early centuries of the Christian church. Let us together, as Christians universal, regardless of denomination or location, remember what it is that we believe about Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, friends, as we prepare to depart and go forth as the light of Christ in our world, will you receive with me this blessing of God's Holy Scripture? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.